This is the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also with me today. And this article comes from my father as of this morning. It's a Zero Hedge article, which is a conservative economic site written by Tyler Durden. And it speaks to a press conference that occurred in Russia, of all places, with the president, Vladimir Putin. And here's how the article goes, and I want to comment on this because I think it's insightful, especially as we apply it to our own situation. During his marathon annual year-end press conference Q&A, which this year lasted about 4 hours, Russian President Vladimir Putin once again vowed to defend Russian society against the intrusion of the corrupted values of the West, in particular blasting the gender obscurantism pushed by the United States and Europe. "I'm a proponent of the traditional approach that a woman's a woman, a man's a man," Putin laid out, which, it goes without saying, also reflects basic biology 101 and human self-understanding for thousands upon thousands of years. He continued the remarks on gender: "A mother's a mother, a father's a father, and I hope that our society has an internal moral protection dictated by traditional religious denominations of the Russian Federation." Okay. All right. So that's, that's the most upstanding moral paragon of the day, Vladimir Putin instructing the West. And, you know, at points, Steve, I think we need to say from the outset that we need to be humbled a bit ourselves to answer the question: are we doing better than Russia?
Good question.
I think we need to first and foremost humble ourselves before the hand of Almighty God, and maybe not lift ourselves up so quickly as the moral paragon of the day. It's hard to say that America is leading the world in moral values.
Yeah, I would agree. We are, I think, lagging quite a ways behind in moral value when we take a look at America as a whole. I think we're in trouble.
Well, again, it's very difficult to compare nations, and I guess I'm going to do that just for a moment. I'm not drawing a conclusion yet on this question. I'm just simply saying, friends, the first position to be in is a humble position, because we are a nation in apostasy. We are a nation that is leading in terms of our hatred of Jesus Christ and his church. And there's much apostasy within the church itself: the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church, many Baptist churches, the Lutheran Church, certainly the ELCA. We have some of the most disgusting denominations and the disgusting churches that the Western Church has ever seen, perhaps even more disgusting than anything that occurred in the 1400s under the Roman Catholics in many cases. Friends, we're not in a position to say that we can lead the world in moral values anymore. And so our first position is one of humility. Putin was responding to a question from a journalist over recent gender controversies in the West and also the way it's impacted women's sports. Quote, "And we learn to treat each other with respect. And what does it mean? That also means treating the foundations of our traditional spiritual culture with respect. All the peoples of the Russian Federation, I would like to stress, all of them have a certain internal moral protection against this obscurantism that you've just mentioned," meaning the gender euphoria, the transgenderism. And he says, well, at least the Russians have an internal moral protection, whereas that doesn't exist in the West. Somebody thinks that a woman and a man are the same thing, they're welcome to their opinion, but a certain common sense should exist. Anyway, so the Russians basically look at us as living in an insane asylum, and we do. And I think this is a result of God giving us up to a depraved mind in the utter dissolution of entire civilization. This is what's going on with the Western civilization. I don't know how a civilization out of the Western world is going to survive. I don't know what percentage could survive this. I don't know how we could rebuild a civilization. But the civilization that exists in terms of every one of our institutions, our educational, social, political, economic institutions, they are non-sustainable. And so somehow something is going to survive out of the faith of the remnant of Western civilization. It's going to survive. But where it survives, how it survives, I don't know. I'm just simply saying, whatever is happening in America, educationally, politically, economically, etc., is not sustainable. It's just not sustainable. We are looking at the collapse of a civilization, friends. And the sooner you wake up and realize this, the better, and the better chance you have of salvaging your family and perhaps a local church. I'm telling you, we are looking at the destruction of an entire civilization, and there will be something to remain. And it is our job to salvage the thing that remains, to strengthen the things that remain. This is what Christ told us to do in Revelation chapter 2 in reference to the church in Sardis. And we are to strengthen the things that remain in our families and our local churches. And that's all we can do at this point. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Russia's President Vladimir Putin, in his four-hour-long press conference just a few days ago, had concerns about the infusion of Western values or the lack thereof in the East. And he said somehow the Russian moral values will sustain this onslaught of Western values that are so destructive. And indeed, these are what it takes to destroy civilizations. It's the apostasy of the Western world and the ideas of the Western world that have been incredibly destructive, even to this point in Africa, South America, and elsewhere. And Putin is concerned that this is going to affect Russia. He says, just like with the coronavirus pandemic, one can't escape this non-traditional values coming from abroad. We need to look for an antidote even in Russia. My dad sent me this story and asked the question, is Russia doing better than we are out here in the insane asylum we call the Western world? I mean, are they doing better than we are? And it was a tough question. And I want to interact with this question on this segment of the program, Steve. You're kind of like saying, I'm not sure, are they doing better or worse? And I'm pretty much in the same camp. And I think we should be in the position at which we humble ourselves and say we don't really know. Now, it turns out Russia is fairly far down the line in terms of the Heritage Foundation's Freedom Index. Russia is not a free nation, and America is somewhat more free than Russia. Now, America has slipped on the index. America, I believe, is in the 20s at this point on the index, whereas Russia is down around 92. Russia is doing slightly better than South Africa, Honduras, Greece, and El Salvador on Heritage Foundation's Freedom Index. Does that surprise you that they're doing slightly better than South Africa?
Not really. So, yeah, when you take a look at those other nations, there's not a whole lot of freedom going on right down there.
Yeah.
South Africa is really in big trouble economically, especially right now.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Big time. So if you live in a Honduras, Greece, or South Africa, you might want to immigrate to Russia for more economic freedom. And my understanding is the South African Boer farmers are looking at moving to Russia. I don't know how many of them have at this point. But would there be more freedom in Russia than in South Africa? Could be. Russia, by the way, also has destroyed its family by Bolshevikism, by the Marxism that came in through the Bolshevik Revolution. So I think people need to remember that Russia's not doing very well in terms of its family values. It can pretend like it's doing well. It's not. Russia's not doing that much better. Russia may be doing worse. I don't know. But I can't say that Russia's doing better in family values. Certainly not doing better right now in terms of freedom. But it's destroyed its family values, and that's what Marx came to do. Marx called himself Apollyon, and he is the destroyer, and that's why I wrote the book Apostate, The Man Who Destroyed the Western World. But he also destroyed the Eastern world, and he's done probably a little bit more to destroy family values in places like Russia and China than he has even in the West at this point. Now, we are destroying family values by a Gramscian cultural Marxism. They destroyed family life by Bolshevikism, by a revolutionary form of Marxism. Now, we do it a little softly, but basically it's the same Marxism that is destroying us as destroyed Russia in the 1920s, 1930s. Now, who's winning in the contest to destroy family life in Russia versus America? I don't know who's winning. I don't know who's losing. Russia was the first nation to approve abortion in 1917 and has maintained the highest abortion rates in the world for decades, along with Greenland. As of 3 months ago, by the way, Russia's government has approved measures aimed at halving the number of abortions carried out in the country by 2025, according to one of their documents they published on the website. So the Russian government saying, okay, we're going to cut abortion by 50%. Okay, too little, too late. 1970, that was 100 years ago, guys. You establish the habit of destroying families, destroying human life, destroying babies, destroying the common love that would have existed within the bosom of mothers. You did everything you could to destroy the family over 100 years, and you're going to fix it in 3 years. That's a joke. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Now, Russia's birth rate has dropped from 28 to 11.9 since 1960. America's has done about the same thing, from 24 down to 9. Japan dropped from 27 to 7. China dropped from 46 to 8.5. That's birth rate per 1,000. So they've all pretty much done the same thing, with Japan and America being slightly lower than Russia's birth rate at this point. But friends, how do you save a nation that's already been destroyed by communism, by Marxism, by Gramscian Marxism, or by Bolshevikism? How do you save a nation that's already been destroyed by communism? I think this is going to be somewhat of a challenge for the Eastern world and the Western world. You know, once you've established habits and you've destroyed the social fabric of a nation in the hearts of mothers and fathers, young men and young women, over a period of 50 years or 80 years or 100 years, how do you reverse that in 3 years, Steve?
Yeah, I don't think you do. One of the things that when my daughter was involved in world school debate, I was over in the Czech Republic, and I noticed three very distinctive, age groups. The older people who were in the whole communist thing, they moved at a very slow pace. They just did things because just to do them. Their children were the ones who were out in the bars getting drunk all the time. And so that was their legacy. And then their kids were the ones who were questioning whether or not this was good or not. And so if you can grab the hearts of these young people, maybe you can, but there is, I mean, it's inbred in them, the whole communist type of ideology, that there is no God. And if there's no God, there's no hope. And if there's no hope in the future, there's no power to live in the present. Mm. There's no reason.
Yeah. Will said, without the gospel, without the preaching of the Christian gospel, without a recognition of the reality of God, and that we've sinned against God, and that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for our sins, and that we can have a new life in Christ, and he regenerates us and places faith in us, and we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And without a widespread preaching of the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ, I can't imagine there will be any substantial change in Russian society. And by the way, you know, we have friends who have attempted some level of evangelism in Russia, but that seems to be frowned upon. So the possibility of the gospel message getting out to the masses is almost nil, which means there will be no regeneration. There will be no new life. There will be no faith. There can't be without a preacher. Romans chapter 10, right? Without a preacher, how will they hear? So friends, the Russian government's doing about everything they can to curtail the preaching of the gospel. And by the way, the local school districts in America do the same thing. They don't allow the preaching of the gospel in the public forums. Just not allowed. You're allowed to preach in the churches, but you're not allowed to preach from street corners as much. Well, friends, only by true evangelical Christianity, not by top-down government policy, are you going to reverse the course of the destruction of the family in these various communist nations. China dropped its birth rate by coercion. And now, it's funny, but it's trying to correct the problem by coercion. It's just not going to work. You've already trained your people to the one-child policy. They've got it down straight by now. You can't just shift that on a dime. In 2013, they changed the one-child policy, but the birth rate continues to go down. Just follow the birth rate, friends. They're not making a modicum of progress with salvaging the birth rate in China. It's not happening. It's only happening by the Christian families. The only people wanting more children in China, people adopting children in China, are Christians. Here's Pastor Raymond Yang from China, spoke to CT Magazine just a couple months ago. Here's some quotes from a Pastor Yang from Communist China speaking to CT. Listen, he says, in our church is one single mother who got pregnant before she became a Christian. But soon after that, she converted and the Christians around her told her she should not abort the child. And she ended up becoming a single mother. So she has to face a certain level of shame because people in the community will point their fingers, but not in the church. And here's the situation in our church. I'm the oldest one in the church. Therefore, we'll see a lot of people going through the same trajectory as we have gone through. So it's almost like we are setting up an example. It turned out that at least five or six families experienced a second child with an unexpected pregnancy. And now they all gave birth later in different formats. And some families now have three children. And one family has four children. So that's what's happening in the Christian churches. Praise God. So the reversal will happen in the Christian churches, but I'm sorry. But the humanists, they've already indoctrinated their young people through the generations to an existentialistic, me-centered life of irresponsibility enabled by abortion and abortifacient pills. I don't think they can reverse that. I can't see how the world will ever be able to reverse that. The only thing that can overcome the power of this irresponsible sexual life is Christ and his gospel. What can possibly overcome the draw of pornography, homosexuality, and abortifacients? This sex without consequences worldview of the modern world. You think about the draw of pornography, the draw of homosexuality, or the draw of abortifacients and the feminist vision of sex without responsibility, without kids. There's nothing that can possibly overcome that powerful force that the modern world is enabled by pornography, homosexuality, the abortifacient lifestyle. There's nothing that can reverse that. Russia can't do it. The communists can't do it in China. Certainly America and South Korea and Japan could never do it. Only the Christian gospel could possibly overcome these powerful systems that have enabled birth implosions and the end of civilization on planet Earth. I can't imagine that anything could possibly reverse this but the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Christian faith. Only the power of the Holy Spirit could possibly shift these social nightmares, these civilization-destructing forces that these nations have brought upon themselves. And friends, I write about that in my new book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And the last chapter deals with the solution, which ultimately is the Christian church and the Christian gospel getting out there and around the world. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. I encourage you one more time to that book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available now at Generations. Get a copy for your children, your older children, and your grandchildren who may be off to college, but this will give them a better perspective of the worldview war that's gone on and the breakdown of civilization and the breakdown of a Christian influence, not just in America, but the breakdown of a Christian influence in almost every country around the world, the breakdown of freedoms, the breakdown of economics, the breakdown of social systems, the breakdown of the birth rate, is a consequence of humanist ideas. It was the humanists that destroyed civilization on planet Earth, and it's Christians that have brought it back. You can read the whole story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.